So, in the Mishnah we had a list of things that we threw at this lady, at Nebuch. She didn't do an investigation properly, and the husband came back, and she stuck, and the Mishnah had a whole list. And then the Mishnah had three dissenting opinions. One opinion said that she gets her ksuba from the first husband. The other opinion said that her first husband's entitled to her earnings and to what she finds. What? This is what we're going to be talking about. And the third opinion said that if the first husband dies, his brother can do yibum. That's what the third opinion said. Now the question is, does one agree to two and three? Does two and three agree to one? How does it work? So we're going to have two conflicting opinions in this Gemara of how it works. Now the truth is, it could really be that each one is independent. But both Mandi Amram and this Gemara seem to think that it works in a sequence. Either one is the easiest to say, don't punish her, and then two is an addition and three is an addition, or three is the easiest and two is an addition and one is an addition. Meaning one would agree to two and three, two would agree to three. That's what the Gemara's argument, and the Gemara is going to give Suarez both ways. So let's read it inside.
So don't we always have that premise, or that yibum is based on the...
Remember, biblically, you can do yibum.
But yibum is when somebody does yibum, usually uses his brother's tzuba.
So take over his brother's tzuba. Then it'll be chal. Just from the brother. Again, we'll see the Gemara in different ways. That's the Gemara, Rabbi Yechiyamik Tzuba, Tzadim Tzuba, Larishim. The chulu means the other two dissenting opinions. Amar Avuna Batsroi, Maidil Kamoi. Two is maskim to one, three is maskim to two and one. Kamoi lo maidi lebatsroi. Reb Yosi, number one, is not maskim to two and three. And the Gemara explains. Reb Shimon maidi le Reb Lazar. Reb Shimon, who allows Yibum, would agree to Reb Lazar that before the brother dies, when he comes back, he's entitled to her earnings and to her findings. Why? Because the Ma Bia, the Ikari Surah. If we want to talk about something that's like this, the most thing we would want to ban is a relationship. And Reb Shimon says we allow the brother to have a relationship. That means he's being makel and saying, we're letting this lady have a relationship with this guy's brother, be evil. That means he's being very lenient when it comes to the knas. He's dropping the knas to her. He's allowing her to have a relationship with her husband's brother when the husband dies. Right? The Ikari Surah, which is the main thing we would want to answer, like others. So, Koshkein, Mitziyasa Maisi Yedel, the Mamaynahu. What?
We don't punish her.
So, for sure, the Mitziyah and Maisi Yedel that go from her to, right, that go to the husband, we wouldn't punish. Reb Lazar by the letter of Shimon. Our Reb Lazar would not agree. Because the Mamaynahu, I'm sorry, Mitziyasa Maisi Yedel, the Mamaynahu, like others. Mitziyasa Maisi Yedel, which is a monetary thing, he's willing to forgo and say, let's not punish. I will be a Nisura, who cannot, but to allow a relationship, that he would never do. But they both would agree to Rav Yossi that she's entitled to a ksuba. Why? The following two, him getting her earnings, and Yibum, only happens because he didn't get rid of her. He didn't divorce her.
Right.
She's under him. She's sitting under him, meaning she's still married to him. But let me just explain. When is the husband entitled to her earnings? Before he writes his divorce. Right. He's mechuyev to divorce her. He comes back home. He didn't divorce her yet. Reb Eliezer says he's entitled to her earnings till he divorces her. Reb Shimon says if he dies, his brother can do yibum until he divorces her. Once he divorces her, he's not entitled to her earnings, and he's not his brother and not going to do yibum. Right? So these two things are happening while she's still married to him, which we want to break up. This is a marriage we're interested in breaking up. And yet, we're not going to punish these aspects while they're still married, even though our interest is in breaking up the marriage. Let me finish. So Reb Yaisi is talking about when he divorces her to give the ksuba. We're happy that he divorced her. So if anything, we're going to punish her less when the marriage is broken up then when the marriage is still intact, which we don't like. So if these two Tanorim are willing not to punish her while the marriage is still ongoing, for sure they wouldn't punish her when the marriage is broken up. Whereas Rabbi Yossi is saying, we don't want them married. We're not going to let her have any marital rights while they're married. We want it broken up. Once it's broken up, we'll give her the tshuva. So therefore, this Madiyamar is saying, if you look at it, Reb Shimon is the most lenient. He's allowing even a relationship. For sure, he would allow monetary rights to go from the woman to her husband. And for sure, when the husband divorces her, he would allow her to get a tshuva, which is what we want, the divorce. Reb Lezer is in the middle. He would not allow a relationship, but he allows the marriage to continue with monetary rights to a husband. And for sure, she would get a tshuva when he gets rid of her. But he would not allow a relationship. And Reb Yossi is saying, I'm not allowing anything when the marriage goes on. I want this marriage broken. But when it's broken, I'm not going to punish her the tshuva. So we have, the Tanakhama punishes everything. Reb Yossi comes along and says, I'm willing to give this woman a tshuva when this marriage is broken up, which is what we want. Reb Eliezer is saying, I'm even willing to give the husband rights to her money before he divorces her. And Reb Shimon is saying, I'm even willing to let the brother have a relationship with her. So according to Reb Huna, who's the one that said this, each one is adding a greater leniency than the one before. Let's read it inside. These things that happen while she's still under him, he doesn't punish. For sure, tshuva which she takes as she leaves. Rabbi Yossi led by the Lu, but Rabbi Yossi would never agree to them. He's willing to let her get a tshuva which happens when the marriage breaks up. But the other two things that need the marriage intact, he would punish her. He doesn't want this marriage continuing and therefore would not allow any rights while the marriage is going on. That's Rav Huna's opinion. So according to Rav Huna, each Tana is adding a greater leniency than the Tana before. Again, the Tana Kama had no leniencies. He said, throw the book at her. No tshuva, no, nothing happens, no yibum, nothing. Comes along Rabbi Yossi and says, whoa, if he divorces her is what we want, we'll give her the tshuva. Comes Rav Lezer and says, you know what? Even before he divorces her, we'll let him take his rights to her Metziah and Maaseh Yadayim. Comes along Reb Shimon and says, even before he divorces her, if he dies, we'll let his brother do Yibum. Each one adding a new leniency, a greater leniency. Reb Shimon's the greatest, he's allowing a physical relationship. Reb Eliezer, not allowing the physical relationship, but allowing monetary rights to go on while this marriage lasts, which we don't want. Reb Yossi says, nothing happens in that marriage. When the marriage breaks up, I'm willing to give her a tshuva. And the Tana Kama said nothing at all, period.
The last opinion is more difficult, no?
What do you mean?
It makes sense. If you're going to you're trying to break up the marriage, so why...
That's what Reb Yossi is claiming.
Right, saying, so what's the evidence?
They're saying, you know, Lamaisa, again, we're throwing the book at her as a punishment, right? How far are we punishing her? To what degree?
Well, according to Reb Shimon, not very much at all.
That's not true. We want the divorce. We're going to push for the divorce. Not letting the marriage continue. We can't live with her. Her kids are going to be mamzerim if he lives with her. We're still breaking up the marriage. The question is, to what degree are we punishing her?
When I read this Mishnah originally, this whole thing, is there two types of ksuba? Is there ksuba achar gershin and ksuba achar misa?
Same thing.
So once Reb Yossi says, I allow her to have the ksuba, he's not differentiating me. Ksuba makes
sense. No, no difference.
Because the whole thing is...
No, no difference.
Because he says, nichse, the words of Mishnah are, Reb Yossi Umar, ksubasa al nichse balarishon. Why do I say, why is nichse? Nichse sounds like something that he...
No, he collects him as a saint, bro.
Means he's dead.
Either dad or divorce, no difference.
Maybe I could say that I'll cannot.
There's no difference. There's no difference.
Because now the marriage is gone. It's nothing to do. There's no more marriage.
So he owes her the tshuva. It's gone whether he divorces or he dies.
So what knas is there to her? What, it's a knas to him then, not to her. Why would he give?
Well, Rabbi Yaisi is minimizing her knas.
But it's putting it on the husband now.
This is what happens in every marriage. He pays the tzuba. This is his monetary obligation.
Yeah,
that he.
You don't want to make it easy to usually.
Again. You're right. That's what the Tanna Kamma said. But Rabbi Yaisi is saying, you're not going to take away her tzuba. Again, listen to what happened. Reuven married her. He gave her a tzuba. She's a total wife. Nebuch, she got messed up because an Eidach came and told her husband died. She obviously did not do proper investigation, so she got stuck. So the Tanna Kamma says, merciless.
We don't want any incentive.
Merciless.
No,
nothing. Everything's gone. Everything. Rabbi Yaisi comes along and says, listen, it's bad enough we're breaking up the first marriage. It's bad enough we're not letting them live together. If they live together, the kids are going to be mamzerim. But we're not going to take away her tzuba.
So we're not incentivizing it this way.
Exactly.
Okay.
Rashi. Dr. Rashi, be it the ikri sura lekanas the tani biyas the kainas to lift the terasa. He says that if the brother lives with her, it's a proper yibum. It's tzara's mutter. Hanu the yasvi to sivikul the main rasa lekume by giving him rights or continue letting any rights go on during the marriage, you could claim that it's going to make the marriage last longer. Because in a certain way, it's a regular wife. It's not, because we want them divorced. We don't want them living together. But at the same time, we're not breaking everything up. That's Rav Huna's approach. So according to Rav Huna's approach, the Tanna Kamma was the most strict. Rabbi Yaisi came along and gave one less knas. Rabbi Eliezer added a second less knas. And Rabbi Shimon added the third less knas. So each one is adding a greater leniency for the woman, for the marriage. Each one is adding a second step. Rabbi Yaisi is only allowing, the Tanna Kamma said nothing. Everything's gone. Rabbi Yaisi said, listen, when she gets divorced, she can let her tzuba. The marriage is broken, which is our intent. Let her get a tzuba. We're not punishing her not to get a tzuba. Rabbi Eliezer comes along and says, even if he doesn't divorce her, meanwhile, his monetary rights in her continue. Rabbi Eliezer would not agree. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't want anything happening during the marriage. He wants that marriage gone. And Rabbi Shimon says, not only do I allow that, but if he dies, we even let his brother do Yibum, which Rabbi Eliezer would not agree. We don't want any kind of physical relationship going on, even though it's with a brother.
But not necessarily.
This is what Rav Huna learned, Shah. Right. Rabbi Eichelin says the exact opposite. Rabbi Eichelin says Rabbi Eichelin is the most lenient, Rabbi Eliezer is less lenient, and Rabbi Shimon is more strict. The exact opposite. Because Kaboi Moidil Basroi, Rabbi Yaisi would agree to Rabbi Eliezer, and he would agree to Rabbi Shimon. Basroi Loi Moidil Kaboi, but Rabbi Shimon would not agree to Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer wouldn't agree to Rabbi Yaisi. Meaning the exact opposite approach is Rav Huna. Each Tana is minimizing our leniency, not maximizing it, not adding but detracting. Why? Rabbi Yaisi Moidil Rabbi Eliezer. Ksuba, he's paying her. We're giving her a benefit. And still he says, the one we're interested in punishing is her. And we're still giving her a ksuba. So the letting her earnings and getting her mitzia, that's going money from him to her to him. Why would we want to punish him? If we're willing to give her money on the way out, that means you're willing to waive that punishment and let her walk away with money. For sure, let the husband get the money before he divorces her.
And keep his ksuba if he divorces her. And he
one second. Rabbi Yaisi says she gets a ksuba. For sure he would say that before he divorces her, he's entitled to her earnings. Why are we going to punish him? But Rabbi Yaisi, Lai would not agree. He says, I'm willing to let the husband make money. I'm not interested in punishing him. I'm a ksuba to be daily, but I'm not willing to give her money. But Tavaya might have Reb Shimon. They both agree to Reb Shimon. Yibum is after the husband's dead. Why are we punishing after the husband's dead? The marriage is gone. Mahadi the Machayim Lekansi, via the Lacha Misa Lekoshke. Yibum is after the marriage is over. Why should we punish anybody? Can I finish? Reb Shimon might do it. Reb Shimon would not agree. Via the Lacha Misa Lekansi, Tavaya the Machayim Kansi. Bias after Misa, that's what he doesn't punish. But what happens during the lifetime, he does punish. So you have two diverse opinions of how to view the sequence in our Mishnah. Rav Yochanan says, the biggest leniency is to give her a ksuba. You're giving her money. She's the one that blew it. Why would you give her money? And yet Rav Yochanan says we give her money. So for sure we're going to let the husband take her money while the marriage is ongoing. And this has happened while she's alive, while the husband's alive. If he dies, there's less reason to knas her. So we'll let Yibum. Eliezer says, we're not giving her a penny, but we're letting him take her money. And if he dies, we'll let a brother do Yibum. Reb Shimon says, when the husband's here, she doesn't get, and he doesn't get. We want this marriage broken up. But if he's dead, he's dead. So we let Yibum. So going to Reb Yochanan, Reb Shimon is the smallest leniency. Reb Eliezer is saying an extra leniency, and Reb Yossi is the most lenient of all. According to Reb Huna, Reb Yossi was the smallest leniency, and they each added. It's two ways of looking at the same thing. Each one sees different points. Because the first Reb Huna said, we don't want to preserve this marriage in any way. Why would we encourage anything to delay the divorce? Right. So according to him, anything that happens while they're still married is more reason to punish. Reb Yochanan is looking at it from the other angle, that we want to punish her, not him. Right? So each one looks at it at a different angle and therefore walks away with a different sequence. I hope I explained myself well enough.
So this second, now this evil, according to this chapter,
is the least thing to consider. The marriage is over, her husband died, biblically there's a mitzvah of Yibum, why break it up?
Yeah, but I'm saying, I know that there's the ksuba is not nothing to talk about now, because in a typical Yibum, right, the brother inherits that.
You've ksuba. Been busy with this the whole day. Again, once he does Yibum, she would be entitled to a ksuba from him, from the Yavam.
No, but does it come from the brother's estate?
Yes. Okay. But the brother's dead.
Wait, but it's not... There's no
conflict
because he's dead.
Exactly. So there's no reason to punish her now.
It's not like he has to write a new ksuba, and that one is like heebie-jeebie together. You know,
yeah, but let's say he doesn't do Yibum, she's not entitled to a ksuba.
He does chalitza.
Then she doesn't get a ksuba.
But a regular Yibum, she does?
A regular chalitza, she did. A regular chalitza, she would. In this case, we're not giving her anything.
We don't force chalitza here.
According to Shimon, we don't force chalitza. And we're saying now, according to Yechelim, that the other two would agree to him. You know, theoretically speaking, you could say that neither is dependent on the other. Both of these mandiyarmim seem to say it works in a sequence. Theoretically, each one could be saying an independent thing and not agree to either one. Rabbi Yossi could disagree with both, Rabbi Eliezer could disagree with both, Rabbi Shimon could disagree with both. But both of these Amoraim are assuming that the Mishnah is talking about in a sequence. Either less severe, most severe, less severe, less severe, or most severe, less severe, going in different directions. But both are assuming that way. Even though, theoretically, you could say there's three independent disagreements, no, nothing has to do with each other.
Right.
And they lived in the same generation, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. It's not like one was earlier or one was later. They were contemporaries. Rashi. The Mechayim, Mechayim Baila. That's the only Rashi. So the Gemara has set up for us two different sequences, and again, I'm going to try to go through them. Rav Huna's approach is that the least severe, meaningless. The Tanakhama threw everything at her. Comes down to Rabbi Yossi and says, listen, when the marriage is over, why punish her? our intent is to break up the marriage. We did. Once the marriage is over, let her get her money. But we don't want to do anything to make the marriage go on. Therefore, while they're married, no monetary rights. He doesn't get anything from her. We don't want this marriage to go on. Rabbi Eliezer says, we're willing to give him monetary rights. But we won't let the brother do yibum. That's like continuing a physical relationship. We would never do that. And Rabbi Shimon says, we're willing to do that. It's not the husband, it's his brother. That's Rav Huna's look at things. Rav Yechonin's look at things is, the most lenient thing is to let do Yibum. What do we care about Yibum? The husband's dead, the marriage is over, let him do Yibum. That's the biblical mitzvah. But while he's alive, nothing happens. Lezer comes along and says, we're not interested in punishing him. Why are we taking away his rights? And Rav Yaisi says, I'm even willing to give her a ksuba once the marriage is over. So according to Rabbi Yechonin, Rabbi Yaisi is the most lenient. He's even willing to give her a ksuba, which is not punishing her. Something in my mind. Okay. This is Schleimer Shos, Mutaris Lachdolai. The Mishnah said, if she gets married with two witnesses, she can go back. Now, let's look at this Mishnah for a second. The Mishnah Shalai B'Shos Mataris Lachzulai. Mishnah said she didn't need Bezin's permission, which means she had two witnesses, she can go back. Now, that is Shimon continuing to talk. This is not a statement said without a name. Rav Shimon is the one that just said she can have Yibum, and he's the one that adds on, if she gets married by two Eidim, she can go back. Because, as we will see as we go along, it's a machlokes. The Rabbanon do not let her go back to her first husband, even if she married with two Eidim. Even though she did nothing wrong. There were two witnesses that said her husband died. But if her husband shows up, she cannot go back to her husband. Rav Shimon is the one that says, if she got married with two witnesses, she can go back to her first husband. Now, when we learned the Mishnah, we didn't say Rav Shimon said that. We just read the line. But the Gemara will explain that this is part of Rav Shimon's statement, and it is not universally accepted.
Did the Mishnah say anything about it?
No. Yes.
The two witnesses have stated that the first husband is dead.
Right.
The status of that first marriage is therefore terminated?
Well, he's dead. His death terminated it.
So
the witness didn't terminate it. The witnesses are informing us that it has been terminated.
Aside from a remarriage, what is this guy's... We find out 10 years later he's alive. He comes back, right? Is this where we're going? What is his status in the community?
What do you mean?
He's a dead guy.
No, he's not. He's alive. He walked in.
Is he?
They made a mistake.
Two witnesses made a mistake. The court...
Okay, so you're asking... I understand what you're asking. Basically, let me reword your question. If two witnesses is the greatest evidence, how can we ever undo it?
How does the reality undo it?
Right. And the answer is as follows. Witnesses testify when we don't know. Witnesses can't testify to something we know. Two witnesses come in and saying, you're not sitting at a table. Two witnesses are telling us that what you're sitting on is not a table. I mean, we look at the witnesses and we say, get lost. It is a table. It's not a question. Witnesses are only there to enlighten us on facts that we don't know. They cannot come and dispute reality.
What's the status of the children of her second marriage?
Mamzerim. There's no way out of that.
Because Mamzerim, that's a physical reality.
Exactly.
So they had a valid quote of second marriage.
100%. 100%. Two witnesses testify he's dead. 100%.
she hasn't, in this situation, two witnesses, she hasn't taken a bad investigation.
Nothing. She wasn't mechuyev to investigate.
Right. There's nothing wrong with her. They came and they gave her dreadful news that she did not want to hear, and here we are.
Right. Sad. Very sad. But what can we do? He's alive.
We could give the children a special different status that would permit them to even marry someone other than other mamzerim.
It's very hard to do that because biblically they are mamzerim. We can't remove a biblical... It's a biblical deformity, meaning it's a kid is born, Rachmana Litzlan, deformed. It's,
it just feels to me like even with two witnesses, she's taking a chance. And
that's a fact, right?
Something where we're saying you don't need to take any chance. When you have two witnesses, you're good to go. But she's not.
Well, she's good to go, but, you know, it's...
No, she's not. She's having kids at her peril. I mean, it's
again, you know, you're right, but... The Torah said we believe two witnesses impeccably. Unless there are contradicting witnesses or... But if the reality ends up being what it is, we can't change reality. That's why that story I said over from Ramosha, it bears a lot of weight, meaning it means something. Right, a lady came to her Ramesha, husband came back, she remarried after the war, and her husband showed up. So Ramesha said, who told you you're allowed to get remarried? And she quoted and said, that certain Rav said it. And Ramesha said, you're lying, because if that Rav would have told you you can get remarried, the husband would have died at that moment. That's what would have happened, because that Rav would not be matri you, and then you would end up being an HSS. If he said it's okay for you to get remarried, then your husband was dead. And if he wasn't, he would have died. That's why that story is so powerful.
She was found to be lying.
What? She admitted it.
She admitted that she was lying.
Again, it takes remission, it takes whoever Rubber was, but with the Gemara's case, he did show up, and he is alive, and somebody told her she can get married, whoever it was. You should know, in the Tshuva Svarim, in Responsa, the main section of most Achrayim is dealing with ladies who don't know where their husband is and have all sorts of evidence trying to prove that he died, whether she can get remarried or not. It's the hundreds and hundreds and thousands of pages are written trying to find a heter for the lady, with the Rav being well aware of what he's doing. I only knew of one iguna. There was a lady whose husband went on a mission, I mean, I knew her in the 1960s, like 1970. Her husband was sent by the army to fly a mission somewhere, to go somewhere, and disappeared. And nobody knew what happened to him. And the Psakma, she can't get remarried. She never got remarried. She had no evidence, no proof of any kind that her husband died. He never showed up. From 1944, when I knew her, it was 1970, 26 years later. And he didn't show up. And she never got remarried, because there was no basis of a heter.
I understand. Here we have two witnesses.
Right, exactly. I'm asking to you.
Supposedly said that they saw his body?
Yes.
He wasn't breathing?
Absolutely. In fact, they can't say he's dead.
I mean, direct evidence from two unrelated witnesses.
See, again, we have all kinds of evidence. They accepted evidence that they saw him being go to the left side in Auschwitz. They accepted evidence in the Twin Towers that he was in that building on that floor at that time. Nobody saw the dead body. So think about it. This is why Bishuf Mutaris Lazuli. Amar Avun Amar Rav. Haki Hilkasa. That's how we pass him. Amar Rav Nachman Gnuvi Gram Vignuvi Lamalach. why are you trying to guess the word is steal? Why are you trying to sneak something in? Isvir lachkerb shimon, ema lachkerb shimon. Why are you posketing this as if this is a universally accepted thing? If you agree to Rav Shimon, just say you pasken like Rav Shimon. The shmeitzach kerb shimon asla. Because you're pasking like Rav Shimon. So be honest, be straight. Why are you just saying, halacha, Ravuna saying, halacha is this way. So Rav Nachman tells him, just say, I pasken like Rav Shimon. But he told me, I mean, halacha kerb shimon, mashma filu b'kanaita. And if you're going to answer me, you're afraid to say halacha kerb shimon, because then people will say you're pasking that the brother can do yibum, which was the other statement Rav Shimon said. Ema halacha kerb shimon b'achreina. Say, I pasken like Rav Shimon. And the last thing he said, why are you just saying this as a statement without attributing it to the proper source? Zakti Gemara Kasha, we have no answer. We have no answer why Rav worded it that way and didn't just say Halacha Kerb Shimon. Rashi, this is... If Rav Shimon says something and you agree, just say Halacha Kerb Shimon. Why is he saying this is the Halacha? As if it's not attributed to any one opinion. Why don't you just say, I pasken like Rav Shimon? Rashi. Nitzish lai b'shush Rav Shimon kamer lo. B'kamaisa. B'asa echalitasa b'nissim b'erechar. Fine. So this was the exchange between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Rav Huna quoting Rav, and Rav Nachman saying, what are you trying to sneak in here? Just say halacha kerb shimon. And we don't have an answer of why Rav said it that way. Now we see the opposite text. I'm Rav Sheshus. Amina, I say, hinayim b'shach of Rav amalah shemaitzah. I think Rav must have been dozing off when he said we paskin this way. I think he was dozing. Because halacha b'klal d'pligi. When you paskin something, that means you're acknowledging that somebody argues. Is anybody arguing this? My Havilah Lemevet. Why in the world aren't you letting her go back to her first husband? What should she have done? Mianus Ansa. She was a total Inus. Harvey Clay. She listened to two witnesses. Why are we not letting her go back to her first husband? Rahman al-Islam. A woman is raped. She's mutter to her husband. We don't ask her to her husband. She was an Anusa. She didn't willingly do snus. She's an anusa. This lady's an anusa. Two Adam said she can get married. What do you want from her? What was she supposed to do? Why is anybody arguing on this? You're pasking, that means you're agreeing that there's some machloikas. Why is there a machloikas? That's Rav Sheshi. He said, I don't understand why Rav said halacha. He must have been dozing up when he said halacha. Halacha indicates that somebody's arguing. There's no reason to argue on this.
Is it wrong to say that
Shlomo
B'Shul says there was two witnesses, but they didn't go to
Beis? No, that's not the case. Two witnesses testified in bed. Shlomo B'Shul means she didn't need a special waiver. That's all it means.
Didn't the Mishnah say that in Rashi, Shlomo B'Shul, she didn't go to Beis?
She didn't need the special waiver of bed. All witnesses have to be in bed.
Did everything correctly?
Yes.
Well, so Rav Sheshi
says there's no question about this. Correct. V'ay Tanya. And I have a bright
side. There's no question about this.
There's no argument about this. There's no reason to paskin this.
Not attributed to Rav Sheshi.
You paskin something, that means there's an argument. Why are you paskining? V'hoi Tanya, kala raya sh'amru, ein tzricha semenu get, chutz meishas ishi nisis api bedl. All our rayas, right, do not have the get. A woman marries her brother. A regular lady does a marital ceremony with her brother. It's not a marriage. She marries her son. She marries her nephew. She marries at one of the Ervis. I use the word marry because she's acting like she married, but it was not a valid marriage. There's no reason for us to have a get. Chutz, The only exception is an Eishesish that is married by one aid. There's really no reason to have a get from the second husband. The marriage wasn't valid. The first husband came back. Here we require a get. But if you're medayik, I'll be bezin of the bayagita. I'll be aid of bayagita. But if it's two witnesses, we wouldn't say that the second husband gives her a get. She's still married to the first husband. Why would we require a get from this? A get requirement means we're saying we're acting as if the first marriage was over and the second marriage started, and therefore she can't go back to number one and she can't stay with number two. This bride is saying we do that by Bethan, but by Adam, we would not do that. We would let her go back to number one and we would ignore her relationship with husband number two. It was nuss. It wasn't a marriage. Again, proves that everybody agrees that there's no reason to answer her for her first husband. If we would require a get from the second husband, we wouldn't let her go back to her first husband. Because you can't take back your divorced wife who married somebody else. The answer is she didn't marry anybody else. It was nus. That's what Rosh Hashanah is medayik. Sorry?
Are all
Chayvi Lavin? No! Chayvi Krisis or more.
So
the definition of any. None of these. That's why they only get.
Rebbe Akiva is the one that holds.
But we're not going into Rebbe Akiva. We're glad without Rebbe Akiva. Rashi. Mechlau Dupligi Rabban and Alei Dereb Shema B'Sefer B'Nisis Vedim. Kar Rai Shom Roshen Erva. She marries an erva. See, it's not marriage. She lives with an erva. Even if they think they're married, they're not married. It never worked. It was never a valid marriage. Even though that's not a valid marriage either. That's a chur rabbanon gita because I made a b'masnisin. But the rabbanon said the second husband should go through the motions of divorce. The diak is only api bezin. But it was Abbezin, with Adam, loy bayaget, danusahi. She's a regular woman, unfortunately, was an anusa, a different kind of anusa. Nobody forced her, but the circumstances made her into anusa. What in the world do you want from this poor lady? It's an accident. We don't punish a woman for accidents. Why can't she go? This is Rosh Hashanah's Tainan Rav. You're saying halacha, that means you're acknowledging that there's another opinion. Why in the world is there another opinion? What should she do? And we have a brisa that seems to say that only Abi Bezin do we require a divorce, which means without Bezin, we wouldn't require a divorce. Now, the Gemara is going to do this in two steps. The first thing the Gemara is going to want to know is whether this brisa is a proof. Then the Gemara is going to go back to the first thing, is what do you want from this poor lady? There's 2 points to Rav Sheshes. First, he said logically, what do you want from this poor lady? And he said, and I have a brisa that says my way. Now, the first thing we want to do is find out whether this brisa is universally accepted. Because if he's proving it from a brisa, that means obviously he feels the brisa is not a matter of machlokes. So we're going to talk about that. Once we get finished with the brisa, we're going to go back to the original question. What do you want from the poor lady? There's 2 parts to Rav Sheshes. We have to deal with both parts. We're not going to deal with them simultaneously. The first thing we're going to deal with the brisa. After we finish dealing with the brisa, we will go back to his first point. What do you want from the poor lady? Now, let's go back to that brisa. Mari, who is this brisa like? Who authored this brisa? Now, the option would be to say this brisa was written by Rav Shimon, which proves nothing. Right, Rav Sheshes is saying this, everybody wrote this brisa. Everybody agrees to this brisa. I could very simply answer you, this brisa is Rav Shimon's opinion. Rav Shimon says in our Mishnah that if a woman gets married with 2 witnesses, she goes back to her first husband. So maybe this is Rav Shimon writing this brisa.
And there is another
opinion. So the Gemara is going to prove that it can't be Rav Shimon. E Lema Rav Shimon, it can't be. Because we're going to show you now that Rav Shimon's opinion is that if a woman gets married with an Eid Echad, Api Bezin, and her husband comes back, We don't let her go back to the first husband, but we don't require a divorce from the second husband. She's an Eitz Ish. There's no reason to have a divorce. Reb Shimon argues in our Mishnah. He says we don't require a divorce from the first husband. So this Brisa that says we do cannot be Reb Shimon. Where did Reb Shimon say this? Elamer Reb Shimon, api bezin mi boy get. If she gets married by bezin, would she need a divorce from her first second husband? Tanya Reb Shimon Eimer, asu bezin bohi rasan, kizadet ish beisha. If a woman gets married by the psak bezin by one witness, we treat her like a woman that was willingly mizana. Meaning, we don't let her stay married to her first husband, like a woman who's an Eitz Ish who has a consensual relationship with somebody. Api Edim, we treat her kishigigis ish beisha. If she gets married by witnesses, we let her go back to her first husband. Now, Reb Shimon is saying clearly, we treat it like a consensual relationship. A woman who is an Eitz Ish that has a consensual relationship doesn't get a get from the man she had a consensual relationship with. And he's saying, we treat this new marriage as a consensual relationship. That means there's no get. That means obviously that Brisa that says that we do need a get is not Reb Shimon. You can't get out of it by saying that that Brisa was altered by Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon does not agree to that Brisa. He says even if a woman got married by Bezin with one witness, she would not require a divorce from the second husband. Easy, easy, loy, boy, get. Elala, Rabbonani. So therefore, Reb Shesha says, I've proven my point. This Brisa says, with two witnesses, we let her go back to her first husband. With one witness, she needs a get. Reb Shimon couldn't have altered this Brisa, because Reb Shimon says, even with one witness, we consider it a consensual relationship, which means no get. And Rabbanu must have altered the Brisa, and they're saying, with two witnesses, we let her go back. It's a riot to me that there's no machloikas. There's no reason to paskin when there's no machloikas. So this is Reb Shesha's proof from the Brisa. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, also by Rasan, I really not to be that, because Zadan ish be'isha, like a consensual relationship. Like a woman who lived the maizit with an eishes ish, who becomes prohibited to her husband. Since we're comparing it to maizit and shagig, obviously there's no gap. It's a riot, which Eishes says, that Rabbanan don't argue in a case of two witnesses. And for the Gemara, no. The Brisa is Reb Shimon. The Brisa is Reb Shimon. The Olam, Reb Shimoni. Utrit Hachi. And the second Brisa has to be adjusted. Reb Shimon Aymer Asu Bezim Bahi Rasan Kikavonas Ish Beisha. Not Kizadain, not like a consensual relationship, but Kikavonas, like an intentional marriage. Kavonas is not a illegal. We treat the second marriage like a marriage. We change the word in the second brisa. It's not like kizadoin, which is a non-marriage. It's kikavonas, which is a marriage. Ubay get, and you need a get. Al pi edim kishaloi bekavonas ish veisha. If it's with two witnesses, it's not a marriage. Veloi boy get. So by changing the second brisa, we're changing the word from zadoin to kavana. Zadoi means a non-marriage relationship. Kavana means she got married to somebody else. We treat the second husband like a husband. And therefore, the brisa could have been authored by Reb Shimon, and the Rabbanan could hold, even with two witnesses, that she doesn't go back to her first husband. We got out of the raya from the brisa. We said the brisa can't be Reb Shimon because Reb Shimon said, if a woman gets married by one eight, it's like a consensual relationship. We change the word. It's not kizadoin, it's kikavonas. Rashi? Loilam Reb Shimon yachkam ayitim tonichus meishis ish. Kikavonas ish b'isha, kipnuya, like a single girl, shenischavin l'katcha. That there was an intent to marry the bayigita. Shloi b'kavona, kabah b'nuya shloi k'shem k'dushin. And shloi b'kavona means no intent to marry. That is answer number one. Reb Ashi amar l'inyan yisura k'tani. Reb Ashi said, it's going like Reb Shimon. And leave the word Zadain alone. All Zadain means, we want to know we want to know whether she committed an Isser. Did she do something wrong? And the answer is, if she got married by an Eidachon and the husband came back, she did something wrong. Not total mazed, but she did something wrong. She needs to do tshuva. She did something wrong. If she got married by two Eidim, she did nothing wrong. She did exactly what she was supposed to. That's what Reb Shimon is saying. He's not talking about get. He's not talking about, he didn't mean consensual relationship. He's talking about, does this woman have to klap al chet? Does this woman need to bring a carbon? Does this woman, did she do something wrong? Is she guilty? The answer is, with one aid, we consider her guilty. Again, not intentionally guilty, but guilty.
That's the
thing
for the Mishnah, isn't it? Mishnah, our Mishnah.
This is the Braisa. We're interpreting a Braisa. Yes. The Gahi Gamar. Asu Bazim by Rust and Kazad Ish Bisho Mitzra Baila. We consider it like she did something wrong. Abiyadim Kishikis Ish Bisha Vilay Mitzra Baila. Rashi? Lingin Isur. Lightam Kazakazaitam Mikar Kazad Ish Bisha Ish. Or me Lingin get like Kamayo. We're not talking about divorce. Abba got the Madame Le Luzad and Boy Gita. He's not saying there's no need of a divorce. He's saying, looking at it from her angle, in one case she did an Isser, and in one case she didn't do an Isser. Ravina Amar Linyan Carbon Tummy. Ravina says we're talking about a carbon. Asu Bazim by Rasan, Kazadat Ish Beisha Veloy Masya Carbon. With one H, she doesn't bring a carbon because she relied on Bazim. And there's halacha that says if you do something with Bazim said to do it, you're popped from bringing a carbon. So it's like a mazid in the sense that you don't bring a carbon. B'shigas Ish Beisham, Kishigas Ish Beisha Masya Carbon. However, if two Adam permitted it, and then the husband shows up. Lamaisa, she lived in sin, so she has to bring a carbon. Rashi, v'loy maisa carbon, the yachid she'asa b'hira is bezin putter. A yachid who follows bezin's order is putter. Avinim b'huri is mibalas toisa. Period. So far, we've given three terutzim of why that b'risa that said that was bezin you need a get, and with Adam you don't need a get, was going like Reb Shimon. We said it couldn't go like Reb Shimon because Reb Shimon said it's like a consensual relationship. So we answered it three ways. Either we changed the words of that braisa, or we said all Reb Shimon meant to say is that she did something wrong, or the third answer was that it's like amazing that she doesn't bring a carbon because she relied on Bezin, whereas in the second case, she would bring a carbon. So the bottom line is Reb Sheshes has not proven anything from the braisa. He came with two points. He had a Savara question, what do you want from this poor lady? And then he had a Braisa that showed that nobody argued. We got out of the Braisa. We said the Braisa is offered by Reb Shimon. We had a problem because of a different Braisa. We got out of that different Braisa one of three different ways. That's what the Gemara did till now. So we answered the Braisa. Again, Reb Sheshes came with a double attack. Number one, why in the world, what do you want this lady to do? Why are you banning her from her husband? Number two, the Braisa says that everybody agrees that she's not banned. The answer is the Braisa is Reb Shimon, but you couldn't say the Braisa is Reb Shimon because there was another Braisa that said Reb Shimon considers it a consensual relationship, which means there's no get. So the answer is we changed that Braisa that it's kagana and there is a get, or that Reb Shimon was only talking about whether she did an Isser, or Reb Shimon is talking about that she doesn't have to bring a carbon. Three different ways to get out of that Braisa. And now we give a fourth way to get out of the braisa. Bibai zemu, hakamaisa rabbanan li. It's going like rabbanan. Utris haki, chutz me'eshes is ushenisis api bezin. The braisa is saying that even with two edim, she requires a get. Not, we've learned that eshes is shenisis api bezin. One case. The eshes is who got married by one aid. So we inferred that with two edim, she wouldn't need a get. We're changing it. Chutz me'eshes ish, comma, ushenis is api bezin. Eshes ish is with two edim, and this is api bezin is one aid. And Rabbanan are saying she needs to get in both cases. So therefore, if anything, it proves that she's wrong. It doesn't prove him wrong if you can learn the other way. But it's saying that the Braisa is no proof to him. Rashi, hakamaisa, the 20 chutz me'eshes ish, kula Rabbanan, loitisni shenis is the mashma v'beidim loy. Don't say that she got married that indicates not with Adam. El tritz ushenisus. Mishtamim tavayu. Both. Chutz meishis ish dahainu be'edim. which in this is happy best in the Eidecha, the Tavaya boy get, they both need to get. Keep the meaning Gita, Alma Milsi Mitzrakama, that means she becomes us into her first husband. So at this point, the bride is no Raya. Tomorrow, the Gemara is going to deal with the question of what happens to, how can we blame this poor lady? And the Gemara is going to get involved, whether we can or can't, that will be tomorrow. Everybody should have a wonderful